It's said that a picture is worth a thousand words. But what kind of story does a scar tell?
He came into my room. I was scared. I remember crying. And after that, he did rape me.
Vicky was only 5 years old.
What he did is he followed it up with, "You tell anyone, I'm going to kill your mother," which she was my world, "and I'm going to kill your dog and my brother." So he went for all three.
Vicky was raped by her mother's boyfriend. Months went by before Vicky ever said a word.
I felt I must have done something to cause him to do this. I have to be nicer or kinder. So I kind of had all those feelings at that moment.
But no matter how good Vicky tried to be, her life just got worse. Her older brother, once her best friend, suddenly turned into her arch enemy. And though he became physically abusive, his hateful words hurt even more.
"You're stupid, you're ugly, you're an idiot." After hearing that for weeks, months, days on in, days out, getting the brunt of someone's anger, you start to believe it.
So when did that abuse, physical abuse with your brother, turn into something else?
Just one night, out of the blue, it happened. He raped me, and I didn't even see it coming.
How old were you?
I was 11.
How old was he?
13. The theme of "you're never going to amount to anything, it's your fault. If you tell, it's your fault anyway." And I started believing that, so much so that when he actually raped me, he always kept to his threats. I felt like I was this atrocity. I didn't look good. I felt that I was unattractive. I felt like I was huge and fat. I felt like I was a disappointment to people. I was incredibly insecure, massive low self-esteem.
And confused. Vicky began to fantasize about being a boy, even dressing like one. By her early 20s, she actively lived a gay lifestyle and was, in her own words, promiscuous. By the age of 24, she had been in a half a dozen mental hospitals for a litany of mental illnesses, like depression, anorexia, bulimia, drug and alcohol addiction. But one compulsion consumed her.
It was like doing something that you like so much. Whatever it is, fill in the blank. Whether it's hot sex, a great chocolate cake, gambling, this was it for me. I tasted it. I was like, I couldn't wait for the next moment.
Vicky is talking about cutting, an act where someone uses sharp objects like knives or scissors and razors to cut their bodies.
Was it the blood that you saw? Was it the pain that you felt? Was it the power? What was it?
All the above. It was something I could control and nobody else could.
Vicky showed me her scars. On this arm, there are over 200 cuts. And on both forearms, she required a skin graft from self-inflicted cigarette and lighter burns.
I need the scar on the outside of me to match the horrible scars that were on the inside that no one could see. And the pain and turmoil, I wanted to come out on my own body. I was cutting and burning with anything I could get my hands on. I was an alcoholic. I dabbled in drugs. I was in promiscuous relationships on 17 pills a day of psychiatric medication, and nothing can compare to the day that I was in the presence of God. As soon as I walked in, there was such peace, and I really don't know how to explain it except like a whew feeling. And the urges and the desires for a few hours left, and that might sound like nothing, but it's something, because the fact that they just weren't there was enough for me to go, maybe there's something to this God thing.
So she went back to church, and after a couple of visits, someone gave her a Bible.
I pick it up and open right up to the book of Mark, chapter 5, and I read about how this man was tormented night and day and cut his body with stones, and how he wasn't in his right mind, and how Jesus healed him. And I was so agitated. I was so angry. So I'm like, how dare you? If you're really there, you did it for this guy, but you don't do it for me. You can't. So I just start going into this fit.
Desperate, Vicky gave God an ultimatum.
I'm going to give you 30 days to prove yourself real. And I proceeded to really plead with him. And I said, you know what? I don't know if you're real. I don't know what's going on. But if you did it for that guy, do it for me. I didn't realize I was praying right then. I was swearing. I was yelling. But I was having a conversation. And I believe God met me where I was at. You know, and I just said, change me. Help me. Take anything that's not of you from me. In Jesus' name, amen. And that was my prayer.
What happened?
Within the next few weeks, the desire started to go, to cut, to burn. By June of 1995, I took all my medication and flushed it down the toilet. I started going to church on Wednesdays in midweek service. Within a year and a half, I hadn't cut, I hadn't burned, I hadn't had any kind of thoughts. I was getting a control on the eating. The thing right in that year and a half is I forgave. And I made a choice. I am going to move on and go forward in my life. Once I forgave, I was just like, wow, life is good. I can't change what those people did, but you know what? I can change me, and I can change how I act and react to them. It's a choice. And I chose to spend those 2 years seeking God and getting healed and set free completely.
Today, over a decade later, Vicki is happily married with a beautiful little son. She's even written a book called No More Pain.
What is the one thing that you want to say to someone who says to you, Vicki, but you don't understand, and they don't know how to get from the bad of how they see themselves to the good of how the Lord sees them? What's the one thing that you can say to encourage them?
There's hope. As long as there's breath in their life, there's hope. And that person may be saying, you don't understand, or I'll never accept God. It doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not. He believes in you, and he can make it work. You know, you give everything else a chance. We give the cutting a chance, the burning. We give the alcohol and the drugs and the gambling and the sex. We give that a chance. Let's give God a chance.
Give God a chance. That is the key. You know, I interviewed Vicki a couple of months ago, and I got to tell you, never in my life have I heard a story of such torment, such pain, but seen a person who was so free. Vicki is free. She's delivered. She's restored. She's not that same child when she was 5 years old who was raped. She's not that same teenager who used to take razors, who used to cut her arm. She's not that same person. She is restored, and she's full of joy and love. And you can be that same way. You can have that freedom. You can be delivered from that thing that holds you, that binds you, that makes you feel like sometimes you're suffocating. You can be free. And the choice that Vicki made to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the key. The key is to give God a chance, not the alcohol, the drugs, the cutting, the anorexia, the gambling, whatever it is. The key is to say, God, who are you? Show me who you are and show me who I am in you. And once you do that and you begin to seek him by reading the Word of God, all the hate and the pain and the anxiety and the filth that's in each of us, the sin, can be purged out. But here's another thing that Vicki did. She made the choice to forgive. You see, unforgiveness is actually like a disease because it starts to corrode our insides. It starts to steal our joy. It starts to steal our health. It starts to steal our mind. But once you forgive, you release it, you let it all go, that instantly removes the wall between you and the Lord. Because when you forgive that person who offended you, God can then in turn forgive you for all of the sins that you've done. But here's the key. You got to accept him into your life as Lord and Savior. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what your past is, no matter how you define yourself, God can redefine you so that you can know who you are in him. So do this thing with me, please. Close your eyes right now and say these words. Confess them with your mouth because there's power in the spoken word. You see, the word says that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. All your life you spoke death into you by saying, I'm nothing, I'm horrible, I'm this, I'm that. But today is the day that we're going to change, that we're going to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. You ready? Bow your head right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord, change me. Make me into that new person. Lord, please forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for all of the hurt. Forgive me for all of the things that I've done, Lord. And make me into a new person. Lord, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you are Lord, that you died on the cross and you rose again for me, that you are my Savior. Father, make me new. Teach me. Show me your ways. Lord, I love you and I thank you. Lord, help me to forgive those people. Help me, wash me from all of those hurts, Lord. I love you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, every single person who hears my voice right now, Lord Jesus, I pray that you will fill them with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit right now, Father God. Wash them, make them clean, restore them, make them whole, and deliver those things that have been strongholds in their life right now. Set them free in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer right now, that is the key. We want you to confess and to tell someone that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So why don't you pick up the phone right now and call 1-800-759-0700. There's a dynamic group of people who are waiting to just pray with you and to encourage you. And we want to give you this. It's called The Higher Calling. And it's our gift to you. And it's also a free Bible. That's one of the things that Vicki did. She took the Bible, she sought it, she read it, and she discovered who the Lord was. So you do the same. Won't you call right now? 1-800-759-0700.